Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Well, welcome to another show. I'm so glad that you've joined me. If it's because you have regularly tuned in, thank you so much for finding me again. I appreciate you following the show and listening to what is talked about with legacy and with faith building. If you happen to stumble across the show, well, I'm glad that you're here today. I hope that you're able to get something out of it. As a matter of fact, I think today is going to be an amazing show where I have with me Brian Evans from Madrona Financial. He's actually joined me for the past couple of shows, so there's already a couple podcasts in the coffers. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and find those. The first show, Brian introduced himself and some things about investing. We just did a show last week about real estate and a little bit about business owners. What if you have real estate? So a very interesting show. Today, Brian, we're going to talk about charitable giving and what does that mean? How can we do charitable giving? How do we do it through IRAs? How do we do it in building God's kingdom and through estate planning? So, Brian Evans, thank you so much for joining me on another show here today.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Well, in case people have not listened to the past couple of podcasts or missed the past shows, why don't you take just a brief moment and introduce yourself and say hi to the listening audience?
Yeah. So I was born in Mount Vernon, Washington, graduated from Washington State University, Paul's favorite.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
School.
It's okay.
And been a CPA for a little over 35 years. Own a firm called Bauer Evans CPAs. We've got about 20 people there. Our offices are in Everett and Bellevue. And a little over 20 years ago, I started Madrona Financial Services. We manage over $500 million now for clients, do a lot of financial planning related to that, passive real estate, insurance products like annuities for lifetime cash flow, permanent life insurance, certainly the stock market too. So all of those things combined with our income tax planning, and that's what we do. We've got about 35 total employees.
Yeah, a very unique combination, a very powerful combination. What was it? Just as another brief review, it's in the past shows, but I think it's very interesting. What was it that spurned you or moved you from being just a CPA into saying, actually, I think I could do some good in the financial world as well? So why did you all of a sudden take one profession that you were doing solely as a CPA and then move out and branch out into saying, actually, there's more for me to do?
Well, you know, one thing I've thought about is somebody has some money and they go to their financial advisor. What should I do? You should buy stocks and bonds. And then they go to the real estate agent. Of course, you should buy real estate.
Absolutely.
Insurance person says, oh, put in an annuity. The banker says a CD. And then you go to your CPA and say, what should I do? And he says, none of them. Okay, what should I do?
Yeah, they all produce tax income.
Well, I can't give you any advice. I'm not licensed. So you're stuck. And I'll ask you, Paul, how many times have you seen a situation where one of your clients had access to an estate attorney, an investment advisor, somebody in the real estate world, insurance person, you know, the CPA, all of them in the same room at the same time with agreement as to the outcome. How many times have you had that? That's virtually a
non-starter. Number one, and we've talked about this before, which is professionals don't talk to professionals.
That,
I mean, just to start there is that we're kind of unique individuals that we will actually reach out to other professionals. And it's our habit to actually collaborate with each other and with other professionals to make sure that there's a holistic viewpoint for our clients' needs, because I don't know anything. And now I know people just fell off their chair if they're listening at home. And Brian, you may need to get up off the floor. An attorney just said that he doesn't know everything. I know, shocking. But I want to stay in my lane, right? What I do very, very well. But I can't actually cross over to everything. And so it's actually a necessity that people talk with each other. So is that some of the experience that you've seen as well, obviously, because you set me up with the question?
Yeah. No, you know, the two of us can be in the room and answer most of those things I just brought up, and we're licensed to do so. And then we will collaborate on other things. So even though I've been a CPA 35 years, I don't run the Roth conversion estimates and the what if scenarios. I got staff to do that. Yeah. I don't even know how to turn on the program anymore. It's been so many years since I've done a tax turn. I understand the tax code and I give advice, but you know, it takes a collaboration of people. And one of the things I can't do is any legal work. And so I encourage everybody, because I will say up to 50% of my multi-millionaire, millionaire plus clients, 50% don't have an updated will or living trust.
Yep.
50%. That's why they keep calling you, Paul, because I'm like, okay, here's the number, here's the number, here's the number. I'm going to have to grab some cards for me on the way out, too,
okay,
because I keep giving them out. But that is probably probably the biggest thing missing. There's two things I'll identify. That is the first one. The second one is a financial plan. Most people spend more time in their life picking out shoes than they do planning their financial planning, their when they're going to retire, what that retirement will look like, their legacy plan, and so forth. But they have great shoes.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
You got to have
good
shoes.
Yes.
It's a very important quality in society to have good shoes. And I would say that I echo all of those sentiments because statistically, I like statistics because I can I actually don't have to try to convince somebody that it actually speaks for itself, which is less than 50% of the American population who are adults currently have any type of estate plan at all. No will, no power of attorneys, no end of life documents, no nothing. And the average individual, when they do an estate plan, doesn't come back to an estate planner for 20 years. Now, but has anything in 20 years changed in your life by chance?
Just a bit.
And any of your finances, any family issues. And so, of course, the answer is absolutely. And you and I could talk about the tax code, about how many different things in 20 years have changed in the tax code that would influence estate planning alone. I can confidently say that here in 2022, that there have been a dozen or more legal changes in Washington state that directly influence estates and trusts. And so there's always an ebb and flow of things moving. And yet people still rely upon a stagnant document, and it just makes no sense to me. So I always encourage people, we got to start moving in a right direction. So if you have not sat down with somebody who actually would stop their world and concentrate on what it means for you to have a strong financial plan. And why do you need a strong financial plan? Because that will release you into what God has planned for you. You need funds to be able to actually operate and move in God's giftings and into His calling. It takes money to run the church. So what if your calling was to actually help missionaries around the world? What if your calling was to actually go down and start feeding the homeless? What if your calling was to actually start moving into ministry? If you don't have finances, if you don't have a strong financial plan, you're already behind the eight ball to actually move and actually be able to accommodate that. Yes, God is a phenomenal good provider, but He wants us to use wisdom and use those around us. So my calling to you is actually start a plan and move it forward. Same with estate planning. You got to start an estate plan. Well, that was all for free because that really was not the discussion of what we wanted to talk about, was it, Brian? So let's transition of our conversation, which is what does it mean for people who want to be charitable? I just mentioned maybe there are people who are listening to our show today that are passionate about giving into missions. And if that is what you do, thank you. Thank you for actually answering that call and watching God's kingdom be released around the world because you have a passion to make sure that your funds and what God gives you as a steward lands in the right hands of people who are proclaiming and laying down their life around the world and as missionaries. Or they want to support their church, or they want to support a feeding group or trafficking issues. There's so many amazing opportunities that we can give into. And I want to transfer today's discussion of what are some opportunities that from our perspective, whether it's a CPA, financial advisor, whether it's an estate plan, how do we encourage people to give? And what are some of those opportunities that maybe people have not thought about?
Oh, there's so many. One of them, let's just say donating appreciated stock. You want to make a big donation. So you say, well, I have some highly appreciated Microsoft or Amazon and, you know, no cost basis. I'm going to sell it, pay the tax, and then give what's left and take a deduction for this lower amount. Or you can give it directly to the charity and you get a deduction for the full amount. You pay no income tax. The charity receives the full amount. That's such an easy one. You were going to give it to them anyway. You might as well double dip on the tax benefits. Another thing is, let's say you're 72 years old or older and you're taking required minimum distributions from your IRA type accounts.
So what is required minimum distribution? Before you get into the next step there, give just a short background on what that actually means, please.
Yeah. At age 72 right now, if you have a IRA type accounts that haven't been taxed yet, the government gives you a formula and you have to take money from your left pocket and put it into your right pocket. And while it's being transferred, they grab a quarter of it or whatever your tax bracket is. So it's a requirement there. If you don't do it, if you forget to do it, the penalty is a mere 50%.
No, that's not there. Yeah,
that's the worst one.
It is.
That's
really bad.
One of the chapters in one of my books is Does Congress Hate Old People? Because that's probably the worst penalty there is. So if a 98-year-old person forgets to do their required minimum distribution, they get drilled for 50%. But I won't get into that. But certainly, you can donate those directly and not pay the income tax. And so the charity gets more. Uncle Sam gets less. But generally, I think the charities that you probably have in mind are better suited to manage money than Uncle Sam.
So so let me see if I understand correctly, which is someone is required to take a distribution from an account that has never been taxed before.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could be in the form of an IRA. It could be in the form of a 401k, the 403bs. So everything except for a Roth, because a Roth has already been pre-taxed, and that money then grows tax-free. So not your Roth account. Right. However, other investments that have never been taxed. The government says, now that we gave you the privilege of holding on to all of your money and letting it grow, and we've never taxed it, now we're going to make you start taking some. And so let's say that someone's required minimum distribution that year was $50,000. Okay. Yeah. So in a typical world, we take the RMD. Mm-hmm. And that money goes to their 1040 as taxable income, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's
earned income because it's never been taxed before.
Right.
So you fulfilled your obligation. You don't get your 50% tax hit because you did good.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're paying a tax. However, if you took all $50,000, so let's say we have someone who doesn't need money that year. They're fine that year. So they're just going to, like you say, put it from one pocket to the other pocket. And they say, I'm going to take that $50,000 and I'm going to give it to my church, or I'm going to give half to my church and I'm going to give the other half to different charities. What's the tax consequence there for the individual who had to take the RMD?
Yeah, so there would be no income tax consequence to them. They did the direct transfer there. And so there would be no taxes due. So there's all kinds of charitable strategies that we could employ. Unfortunately, you don't have time on this show to get into them, but that's one of them.
That's fantastic. Well, we're up against a break right now. So, Brian, if people want to find you, where is the best place that they can go?
MadronaFinancial.com is the best place.
Fantastic. And you can find information about what I do as an estate planner at LegacyAndFaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. So head over to LegacyAndFaith.com. We're up against a break, so hang on. We'll be right back with more.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And welcome back to the Legacy and Faith Show. Thanks for hanging in there with us. I'm with Brian Evans of Madrona Financial. And Brian, we're talking about ways that people can take advantage of, they want to be givers, they want to do good. And so we talked about taking a required minimum distribution and addressing or moving that to a charity. And so they actually get the full amount. So that's awesome. You also mentioned appreciated stock or even appreciated property could mm-hmm. be something that people give over to a charity. And that's because charities don't pay income tax. And so when they cash out an appreciated piece of property or an appreciated stock and they sell that stock, they actually get to take the whole amount of money and use it. That's a pretty good gig. So the person who gave the gift, they don't pay income taxes. That's a good starting point, but then the charity gets to use the entire amount for the benefit of the kingdom or for the benefit of whatever they are doing. So it's a really nice hand-in-hand opportunity. What other ways can people think about being charitable?
Yeah, there's a number of them. One of the best ways is to have an updated, and I don't know if you agree with me or not.
Okay,
let
me find
out if I do. Have an updated will or living trust.
Oh,
what do you think about that?
No, I don't know. That's kind of iffy. That's a pretty challenging thing. But go ahead. So keep moving forward with that.
Assuming, if you did agree, then I would say, some people want to leave all their money to their kids. Okay.
Yeah.
And some people say, they're actually, a lot of my clients, my kids are doing better than I did.
Right.
They don't need the money and I don't think it'd do them any good. And they'll have some strategies maybe to set up something for the grandkids or whatever. And that's stuff that you would work on them on that.
Yeah.
But they say, I want to leave 30%, 10%, whatever, a percent of my estate to my charity. It's pretty easy, I believe. I don't do this. I don't draft those documents. You do, but it seems pretty easy to say, upon my passing, I'm going to have these things for my family. I'm going to have X amount to various charities. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
You've taken care of that. Maybe you weren't real, consistent with your gifting. You feel a little bad about that. You got a do-over when you pass away.
Yeah, you do.
You can put it in there and give money that way.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what I talk a lot about on this show is that there is a societal expectation that you just split money between your kids. And I want to challenge the body of Christ that we need to go before our Heavenly Father and actually seek after His heart of what we are supposed to do. I don't believe that stewardship ends at death. We're supposed to create a very good plan. So, yes, I absolutely agree. We need to have a strong, solid plan in estate planning. And I really want to encourage our listeners to think about this opportunity, which is seek after your Heavenly Father. He is good and He wants to tell you and guide you with what His passion is for your stewardship. That's today's calling and it's our calling in the future. And so we can then get the voice of our Heavenly Father and then move that into our estate plan. So how much should we be considering of our estate planning going to places that would assist the kingdom of God and what our Heavenly Father envisions and is passionate about versus how much is supposed to go to our kids? I have many people who look, let's say they have three kids, and so they go, okay, I'm going to create a fourth child, and that fourth child is going to be charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so instead of just saying there's three children, I'm going to treat my estate as if there's a fourth child.
I think that's a great way to do it. And another thing about this is everybody wants to give money, and you might say, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to run out, so I'm not going to give it. Mm-hmm. And so, that's where making that fourth child election is your way to give it and not take the chance that maybe you don't have enough money for yourself. That,
right.
Okay. Whatever's left, a quarter of it goes to charity. I mentioned earlier, you can always give cash, but I'd rather see you give appreciated, you know, stock or required minimum distributions because of the tax advantages. So that's giving money now. There's also in-betweeners. You can give income during your lifetime and leave money to your kids. So if you had a highly appreciated real estate and, you were to put it into a charitable remainder unit trust.
Yep.
You could actually have income for yourself and then leave at your passing whatever's left in that fund to the charity. Alternatively, if you sell appreciated real estate and put it in a charitable remainder annuity trust, you could give the income, the rent, the income from that investment during your lifetime because you don't need it. You're doing fine. And then upon your passing, the residual goes to your heirs.
Yes.
So there's partial gifts you can do. There's afterlife gifts. There's during life gifts. There's all these different ways to do that.
Yeah. And of course, I can work those things into estate planning as well, which is if you've passed away and we're over a certain tax bracket so that your estate would be taxed. It's called a TCLAT, a testamentary charitable lead annuity trust. And that what that does is exactly what you're talking about, Brian, which is we take the income, it goes to charity. So income plus some principal, that money is invested and it continues to grow so that at the end of the term that the IRS tells us we have to be charitable for, because the IRS, the government wants you to be charitable because that alleviates the government from needing to take care of society. They want charities to be caretakers of society. So they go, we'll reward you if you're charitable. We actually want you to be charitable. And so then they have a whole system worked out to where we can support charities over a period of years, 15 and 20 years, but then all of the money that is beyond that comes back to your heir. So it could be like a second inheritance to your beneficiaries. So they don't get everything at once, which could actually be in their best interest.
So, very often that is in their best interest. Generally, people that aren't used to handling a lot of money, you give it to them all at once. You know all the stories about lotteries or rock stars or athletes or whatever. They got a lot of money at once. It's better to dole it out over time, typically, for most people.
Yeah. And so in your estate plan as well, it can be an amazing opportunity to be charitable. But you have to think in terms of that. So again, I go back to what I just said, which is, are you willing to go before your Heavenly Father and say, okay, I am willing to adjust what I think is the norm because the norm says just give it to the kids. But I'm willing to submit myself to you, Heavenly Father, and say, what is your heartbeat for me to do with whatever I have that I haven't used, whatever I've been a good steward over? I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. And so, and you know what? I've had clients come back and say, actually, I am still in the same place. I feel very peaceful about giving it to the kids. Perfect. Then that's your answer. That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. If you have sought your Heavenly Father. What the bad answer is that we're just doing something to do it. We're just doing. Now, I'm always in favor of estate planning. Don't get me wrong. It is better to have good estate planning wrapped around you and your family for a smooth transition than it is to have no estate planning or old estate planning. Those are two bad options. As a matter of fact, they're almost equivalent. No estate planning and old estate planning, they act almost similarly. But I would rather have you do strong, good estate planning than do nothing at all. But even more than that, my voice of encouragement is, well, go seek your Heavenly Father and listen to His voice. And if the answer is take care of your family, I'm all in. That's fantastic. And, but maybe the answer will come back and say, actually, I want you to be charitably minded. I want you to have a passion after the things that I have a passion for. And this is how I want you to set it up and how I want you to look at it. So in estate planning, there's a great opportunity to be charitable and to be thinking through some of those things. Other opportunities that you can think of as we wind down our show today.
Yeah, well, just as a follow-up to what you just said, I'm comforted to know that when I pass away, there'll be instructions out there. I've got a complicated estate. I have businesses and so forth that they will be handled. I also know I provided for my church and my charities in my will. I won't have to listen from the grave or beyond to my my family cursing me out because I didn't do any of that stuff and I left them with a mess and they're all fighting and doing all that stuff. And I don't have to meet my maker someday and say, oh, yeah, I forgot about you. I didn't bother to do any of that kind of planning. So I have some peace of mind with that. And that is the thing about planning and estate planning and investment, financial planning. It's really about peace of mind and how you handle the resources that were granted to you. We're you know, many of us are very blessed. They're listening to this. We live in, you know, where we live at the time that we live, and our financial resources have been very good, especially over the last 10 years. And we're supposed to be good stewards of that. So this is really what this discussion has been about today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Brian, for joining me on today's edition of the Legacy and Faith Show. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you?
Just go to madronafinancial.com. Lots of resources online, things you can download. My radio shows you can listen to, books you can download, articles, all sorts of stuff.
A wealth of information there. And you can also find information about me at legacyandfaith.com with past podcasts, upcoming educational workshops, and ways to communicate with me. Thank you so much for joining me on another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.